News Talk Breakfast, in association with AIR, supporting your business on our mobile network right across Ireland.
The other big story yesterday, Paul, was the Arlene Foster winning the national lottery.
Spectacular deal.
Euro billions.
Well, fair play to Arlene Foster. Isn't fortune favour them? It was like winning the lottery, because this time 6 months ago, who'd ever have thought, or even this time 2 months ago, or even a month ago, would Arlene Foster suddenly be in the driving seat?
She was finished. She had a disastrous assembly election.
The Shinners were dancing all over playing the old game, and she's completely taking the rug from underneath them, because what's the one thing that the North needs, apart from the bloody extremists that they are up there on both sides, DUP and Sinn Féin, is they want cash. They're cash strapped. They've been suckling on the old nipple in Westminster for a long time, and they're after getting money. They need cash badly up there, and they're after getting a massive bung. And the Shinners are left with their hands.
It's a big wad of money.
That's been referred to by some of the Conservative Party as
She's certainly wrong-footed Sinn Féin as well. Let's stay with that story now. We're joined by Richard Bullock, who is a former advisor to Arlene Foster. It's an extraordinary turnaround in Arlene Foster's fortunes.
Well, there's no question that if you think where things sat even, you know, in March of this year, and consider where we are today, it's been an incredible performance. It's been an incredible turnaround. And as things stand now, you know, the DUP, having been very much on the back foot, are very much on the front foot, and probably in a better position to dictate terms in any agreement moving forward.
They have stolen a bit of a march on Sinn Féin, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, well, what often happens in negotiations in Northern Ireland is that the parties overplay their hand, and Sinn Féin, certainly dating back many decades, had a habit of over-negotiating. I suspect had they cut a deal back in March time, they might have got a more favourable outcome than having waited and waited and waited, and probably having to accept a little bit less now or in the autumn.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to John O'Dowd in a minute, and no doubt he will, of Sinn Féin, he will reject this. But there had been a suggestion that Sinn Féin were deliberately stalling on a deal. What's your take on that?
I'm not sure I would say they were deliberately stalling. I suspect they have things, like the DUP, in terms of negotiations, they have things they want to achieve and are not terribly bothered if it takes a little bit longer to achieve them. So that's the position they will take up. No doubt what they wanted to achieve, they will still want to achieve. Their problem, I suppose, is the fallback position is less favourable to them today than it might have been a few months ago.
Where does it leave things in relation to the restoration of power sharing? I mean, there is an argument put by people who, you know, who don't have a particular axe to grind. I'm thinking about, you know, the people like John Major, Jonathan Powell, and who are saying the DUP deal with the Tories complicates matters, and it stops the British government from being an honest broker in relation to these talks.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't share that analysis. I suspect their analysis is a little bit out of date. My view certainly would be that this makes a deal between the DUP and Sinn Féin more likely, and that's for two reasons. The first one is clearly the financial package will make returning to devolution for all of the parties a more attractive prospect. But secondly, like, the major impediment to getting devolution back up and going in recent months was Sinn Féin's unwillingness to come back into government. I think, as I said before, because the fallback position in essence is going to be direct rule from London with a Conservative government propped up by the DUP, where Sinn Féin have no say at all, I don't think that is a good outcome. And I still believe the DUP will want to cut a deal in the next day or two, ideally, and get things up and running again. So I think prospects have improved.
Do you think we will see a deal this week?
I think we are so close to the deadline that making predictions would be rather foolhardy. I think a deal can be done, but that's a very different thing than saying it will be done.
Okay, if you can stay with us, Richard, it would be great. John O'Dowd, the Sinn Féin MLA for Upper Ban, is on the line. John, do you share Richard's optimism in that, in relation to a deal being done?
Well, there can be a deal done, but the circumstances haven't changed as to what is required for that deal. We need the implementation of outstanding agreements. We need a rights-based society. And if I use a couple of examples, we need the implementation of the Acnamara, the rights for Irish speakers in this part of the island. We need the Bill of Rights, which will recognise the rights of our LGBT brothers and sisters, for instance. We're still barred in this part of the world from equal marriage because the DUP continue to veto that. So regardless of how much money the Tories give or how much money the Tories take away, the issues remain the same. A rights-based society with strong legislation protecting minorities, protecting the Irish Language Act, and when we achieve that, we will have a deal.
I suppose the argument would be made that you didn't seem to have a difficult... Well, sorry, it's not fair to say you didn't have a difficult, but you had no problem sharing power with the DUP when the DUP weren't willing to introduce gay marriage in the North. That wasn't an issue until the last few months. I know it was something you argued for, but you were quite happy to share government with them, knowing that they would veto such a bill.
Well, it was an issue, and as you say, we continued to campaign and lobby for that right, but a number of things came to a head. The RHI scandal, which came to a head around Christmas of last year, which could see the potential loss of £500 million of public funding, came to a head. How the DUP and particularly Arlene Foster dealt with that matter and refused a request from the then Deputy First Minister Martin McGuinness to step aside for 4 weeks, as much to reassure the public that there was going to be an open and transparent investigation into that, caused a breakdown in relationships. The continued refusal over several years of the DUP to implement outstanding agreements all came to a head around that period, and we made the decision at that time that government couldn't continue until outstanding agreements were implemented.
OK. In cold political terms, Arlene Foster has stolen a march on you, though, hasn't she? No pun intended. Over €1 billion, or over £1 billion sterling for Northern Ireland. She's the one bringing home the goods.
Well, we welcome the fact that there's going to be more money in our public services, but let me give you an example of where we're at here. In terms of our finances, I'm the former Minister of Education. The extra money that's going to education, for instance, will leave the Department of Education with the same spending power it had in the 16-17 financial year, which is less than it had in the 2010-2011 financial year.
But should we all have less money than we had in 2010? I mean, we had one of the biggest global crises ever. I mean, there was that they were never going to be unscathed from that.
Well, I think let me just finish this point and then I'll come back to that. So we still face significant financial pressures. But those who told us, including in the South, that there was no more money, that there was no magic money tree, have all of a sudden found a magic money tree and shook it and give money out. Now, so it
the DUP found it would be the argument.
No. It means austerity is a choice. It's not a force of nature. You choose to introduce austerity, you can choose to end austerity.
Okay. Richard Bullock, are you still there? Are you still with us?
I'm still here, yeah.
Just taking up John's point, they want a rights-based society, they want the Irish Language Act introduced and a Bill of Rights. Are those things the DUP can deliver, do you think?
I think there are big challenges around all of those. Like, obviously, I'm not involved in negotiations and don't wish to intrude. But those are the issues that need to be resolved. I suspect some movement is possible on some of them, and maybe less movement on others. And you know, within a very short period of time, people are going to need to make a call on whether or not there's enough there to put things up and going again.
Okay, Jonathan, just very quickly, because we are at a time, can there be a deal done this week?
I go back to my point. It has to be a rights-based society. Outstanding agreements have to be implemented, and then we can move on to a true power-sharing executive, where the rights and entitlements of all citizens are protected.
Okay, my thanks to Richard Bullock, former special advisor to Arlene Foster, and to Sinn Féin MLA John O'Dowd.
News Talk Breakfast, in association with AIR, supporting your business on our mobile network, right across Ireland.